What we just did, praying to God, was part of the fact that we are priests, all of us. That's okay. She's okay. Good job. I'm not looking at her because she will start to cry always. When I talk to her, she cries. So this is great because if she closes so close to me, this is awesome. That's a privilege. remember last Sunday when I said that Jesus prayed, and that was he was also close to death in prayer. Prayer is part of our priesthood, and we are able to pray because we are priests of God Almighty. And we believe in the priesthood of all believers. And not just because we are kind of a weird, but it's in the scriptures of the new covenant. But priesthood is not new. Priesthood was also in the old covenant. The priesthood of Israel was just to represent them in front of God, but also Israel was a nation of priests. So among all the nations, Israel was a nation of priests, and they were represented in front of God by the priests from the tribe of Levi. Their duty was to represent the whole world to God and God to them. Today we are going to enter in more details about this, but about the priesthood of all believers. But let me tell you a few things about the qualifications and the duty of the priest in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Now, if you need the slides of this sermon, we also have the information down. So if you go down, how is it, Zenon, down the... all the lyrics, there are also the slides in the same document? Okay, so you have it. If you need, we have a QR code, just raise your hand. We know why you raise your hand. We come with a QR code and then you'll have the information too. There are so many things that priests in the Old Covenant, they were doing, but there were some qualifications. Not everybody could be a priest. Although you were from the tribe of Levi, priesthood was only for male, restricted to males. They had to be, yes, from that descendant from Aaron if they were high priests, and they had to be somewhere between 25 and 50 years old, no physical defects. They must have a proper marriage, not married to a harlot, not married to a divorced woman, not married to a widow or others than a priest's widow. The high priest must marry a virgin of his own people, must have no uncleanness like leprosy or any other type of disease, must have an untrimmed beard. So natural beard, not trimmed, but trimmed and well-trimmed hair, but not shaved. Must be properly dressed in holy garments. So there were some qualifications, but why? What were the duties of the priest in the Old Covenant? Well, to be holy in all their behavior, in and out of their ministry. Teach God's law to the people, serve as judges, offer sacrifices, of course, inspect persons, fabrics, animals. They knew the law. They knew how to make the difference between things. Receive the tithes, burn incense, pronounce God's blessing on people, or bless God. You see, or keep the tabernacle functioning. Take care of the altar, the lamps, and the showbread. You know, every weekend they had to put another like 12 loaves of bread, and to eat the old ones. It was to continue the sacred fire and to blow the trumpets. A lot of things. Now, I know sometimes we don't realize, but in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there are some forgotten priests. Did you know that Isaiah was a priest? Jeremiah was a priest. Ezekiel was a priest. Zephaniah. By the way, one that is in the New Testament is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a priest. And Samuel, yeah, he was not from the tribe of Levi, but he was selected by God as a priest. All in all, this priesthood was very clear delineated, and their duty was very clear. Interesting, there was also priesthood before the Old Covenant, and also in the New Covenant, the priesthood is, some things are similar, but some things are changed. So let me focus on this priesthood of all believers, the New Covenant priesthood. The origins of the priesthood of all believers is actually, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I want to start with God. Because he made the first sacrifice. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve, they sinned, he sacrificed animals to atone their sin, to cover their sin. How do we know this? Because he took the skin of these animals, and they were naked. So they were covered, and their sin was covered. Read. It's Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. If you wish, God is the first fashion designer in our world. And also, he also was the first one doing the first sacrifices ever on earth. And that's interesting. Afterwards, we see Abel bringing sacrifices with a clean heart, not like Cain. Cain was like, whatever, it goes. I want to thank God for everything he did, but it doesn't matter. Well, Abel said, no, this is God. I want the best of the best for my God. So his heart was reflected in his offering. And later on, we know what happened to Abel, right? Because he tried to be to do this. He was killed. He was massacred. He was butchered by his brother. But then, and then Seth was born, and to Seth was born a son, and he called him Enosh. And that means a weak or frail or miserable man. And maybe you think, why anybody would call their son miserable men? Well, during that time, men began to call upon the name of Yahweh. And also we see a lot of, from Cain genealogy going around. And you see, there are two areas spreading in the world. One that is really sinful, one that is really righteous. So in that moment, when Enosh was born, the righteous people, they started to call upon God, and not only in the midst of their families, but they started to join together in public worship. And maybe you think, what are you talking about? Well, yes, it says that the people started to call upon Yahweh. And this, to call the name of Yahweh, is associated later on with sacrificial worship service. In Genesis 12:8, it says that Abraham built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. So that was public worship. So in Genesis 26:25, later on, So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. You see, it's the same thing that Abraham did. They started to do it really early on. Now we are talking about Abraham was after the flood, but they were before the flood. So you see it all over the board. Priesthood was practiced by the patriarchs before the establishment of the Levitical priesthood. Noah brought sacrifices, remember? Abraham brought sacrifices, of course. Job brought sacrifices. And, of course, Melchizedek. Let me read Job 1:5, just to understand why I'm saying this. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, his sons and daughters, and he would rise early in the morning. I love this one. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. It was not one day, not one time. That was his life. The priesthood of all believers was also predicted by the prophets. The prophet Malachi predicted, prophet Isaiah predicted. Let me read the verses and then you will understand what I'm trying to say. In Malachi 1:11, it says this, "For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of the hosts." You see, it's not only for this idea of priesthood, it was not only for Israel. If you don't believe that, then read Isaiah 66. Now, starting with, it's 18 to 21, but it's a lot. I will read only from verse 20. Listen to this, and then I will come back to this later in a few minutes. "And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord." To bring people as an offering. How is this possible? Well, I will call this verse because it's really interesting. You will see it in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. On horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on dromedaries, on my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord, and some of them, interesting, also I will take from priests and from Levites, says the Lord. Then you think, who are they? Well, it's clear that in verses before, it talks about Tarshish, that's Spain. Pul and Lud, that is the northern Africa. Tubal and Yavan, somewhere in the northern part of Europe and even more toward Russia. I'm like, what is this? All over the earth, people will come and bring sacrifices. And God said, I will take some of them and make them priests and Levites for me. It's so interesting. It's not, you see, the priesthood of all believers was established by Jesus. We know that, but you see traces of this even in the Old Testament. How Jesus did that? By us being born again through the Word of God. Jesus made us holy to serve in the presence of God, who is also holy. This is his challenge. Be holy as I am holy. Be different. We are different than other peoples because we are priests. We are holy because we are priests. We see, we always sing about this, we talk about this, but we never connect the dots. It's because we are priests of God. He paid for us the full price of our sins, washed us from our sins, and set us before God as to offer him sacrifices, acceptable sacrifices. Because Jesus is our perfect great high priest over the house of God, which is the church, the local church. We found our salvation in him, forgiveness of sins and a direction in life. This is our, why we are here on earth, to be priests for God. In Hebrews 10, 21, 25 says, we found this. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We are very close to the end of this earth, and God calls us all, draw near, come on, encourage each other. That's the purpose of the church, to be a community that encourage each other, and we love each other. And when somebody is not coming to our meeting, we call them and like, hey, what are you doing? I was not loved today. This is actually what the author of Hebrews says. And let us consider how to stir up one another. Another word for this is to nag people. Like, hey, what are you doing? Well, where have you been? I was there, but where you have been? And maybe you think, well, nobody does that. Yeah, because we are not reading and living the Word of God. We should. We can boldly enter the holy places. This is a holy place because we are not only here, but we are there too in God's presence. The only thing that as priests we need to do is to train. To train and to participate because we are already there. Priesthood in the scripture means an active role before God and before men. You see, that's why Paul said, you know, you are a new race of people. You are new creatures. New creatures. We are not part of the human race anymore. Well, although we look like human. Because in our self, we are transformed through God's grace and God's love. We are not the same. We are different. But we are like God. We are not different than God. He is different than everybody else. He is holy. And we are holy. And we are like him, but different than the others. And our role in this society is a prophetical role, is to be priests. The church is not a one-man ministry system. I didn't want to say one-man show. That's another story. But one-man ministry system, but a community of interconnected ministers. This is the system of the church. We are interconnected. When one is missing, we fill it. Oh, that's why I said, you know, some of us, they are running right now, but oh, I miss them. And I hope they miss us too. Each person has a vital role in the life of the community. And the church service is also interactive and provides this framework to practice our priesthood. Why are you here? Yes, it's Sunday, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, but you are here to practice your priesthood. We are here to encourage each other. When I go here home, I go home encouraged by you. I cannot grow without you, and you cannot grow without me. We are all interconnected, and this is what God meant to be. This is the purpose of the church, of the local church. If the members of the church are only spectators, then we cannot exercise priesthood, right? This is not a church service. This is a church show. We are not here for a show. We are here to encourage each other. And this is even my role now, to encourage you, to challenge you, and all of us to challenge also each other while we eat, you know, a biscuit or whatever, a drink of coffee. And then during the week, we come back and we want to encourage each other. We cannot grow without the others. We cannot. So, in the New Testament, we have some description of this priesthood. And there are several descriptions, and some of them are in Peter, some of them are in the book of Revelation. But as maybe you've heard about this, that the church is a chosen nation. I like this one. A chosen nation, people belonging to God. Well, as God's nation, we are elected, we are chosen in Jesus and brought here in this community by His blood. Predestined, elected, and adopted as sons, as Ephesians 1 says. People of God's own. This is Titus 2:14. We are not of our own. We are bought by God. We are the property of God. So that means you are not doing whatever you want to. You are doing what God wants to. And why? Because we are a chosen nation. We are people belonging to God. The fact that God chose us before the foundation of the world shows God's purpose for our life. The word used here means to choose some from the majority of people. This shows how privileged I am. Privileged I am. You are also privileged. We are taken out from others. There are so many other people on this earth that they have no this privilege. But you do. What do you do with this? No. We are here to encourage each other. We are here to celebrate. Now, there is another description, holy priesthood. Holy priesthood. We have been made holy by Jesus Christ, by His sacrifice. The word holy, just to understand, the whole word holy means different, unique, out of the common, which means uncommon. We are not like them. And we know that. And they know that. And there is a difference between the in-house and out-of-house. And that's why this is the house of the Lord. I'm not talking about a building here. I'm talking about you. House means family. And this is a holy priesthood, different and uncommon priesthood, and we are not like the world. And that's okay, you know? When you see they are cursing, you are not, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, why? No, that's great. That's awesome. When they think in a way and you think differently, it's like, oh, yeah, but I don't want to. No, that's okay because you are holy. You are different than them. Yeah, from the beginning when we are born again, we are not pretty much different. You know, but little by little, this is what we talked at the catechism class today. Little by little, we try to accommodate our identity with what we do. In the beginning, identity was here and our performance was right here. But little by little, we try to do what we're supposed to do, and we are priests. Another description is God's house of living stones. I love this one. Jesus, yes, he is the high priest over the house of God, and this house is us, Hebrews 3:6. The church is formed of living stones, therefore it's a spiritual house. Is not a physical house and a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices, a holy temple that is built together to welcome and to be a dwelling place for God. Do you understand? We are one. Although we are many, we are one, like a building. You see many many bricks, right? But they are connected. And bricks after bricks after brick, you have a wall. And then you have, we are the walls where God lives, dwells among us. That makes us different, distinct than the world. You see, that's why we are a holy temple, a holy God, a house of God. Now, when we became priests, there was an entire, like in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, there is a preparation. There was a preparation in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, when you become a priest, first of all, you were washed. Second of all, you were clothed. And third of all, you were consecrated. Guess what? We too. Remember when in Hebrew said that we are washed, our conscience is washed? In Leviticus 8, home, and maybe if you want to prepare for the small group, read Leviticus 8. In Leviticus 8, the priests were dedicated by being sprinkled with blood. And they're like, whoa, how is this possible? Well, we know they needed to be atoned with blood, covered with blood, so they might be clean before the Lord. And afterwards, they were washed two times. One time, the whole body, and the second time, only the hands and the feet. Maybe you remember what Jesus told Peter, right? You don't need an entire shower. Only the feet. Just that, when you take John 13 with Leviticus 8, put them together, wow. But I'm not going there. It's just what he did spiritually to us. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by only in this way we obtain salvation. We are clean. But we also need constant cleansing every day, right? Our feet, our hands. I'm not talking about, you know, like in the Muslim world to wash your hand, or like in the Jewish hand, you know, wash your hand. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually washing. Being very clear, careful. I don't want to, you know, my white dress right now is, I need to clean. How you clean that? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Is washed again. So they were also clothed in special clothing. Leviticus 8 again. Priests, they were clothed in, by the way, that robe. And it was one piece, a belt, and a cap. All white. Now, do you remember what the priest did in the Old Testament? What was their job? To bring sacrifices. Not spiritual sacrifices. Physical. What happens when you bring a physical sacrifice? There is blood, right? These priests were like butchers. They were cutting meat, working with blood. They were washing all the time, washing their clothes, and then washing their hands. It was messy. Interesting. White clothing. If I think of the book of Revelation, I see all of us clothed in white, right? Clothed in white, and we are walking with Jesus Christ. We are worthy to do that because he died for us. Why? We are priests. And when the question is, when we were clothed? Well, I want somebody to read Galatians 3:27 for us. Galatians 3:27. If you find it, just start reading it. Galatians 3:27. I love this word, verse. Clothed. Are you there yet? Come on, read. Help me. It's participation. It's encouraging each other. That's our clothes, is we put on Christ. Now, when you look at the distance, you don't see me. You see only my outfit, right? I'm like, who is this? Well, it looks like Christ. He is clothed with Christ in the baptism. This is awesome when you think about this. So, washed, clothed, and then consecrated, dedicated. Now, in Leviticus 8:24, says that Moses put blood, I don't know if you read this part, but Moses put blood on the lobes of their right ear, blood on the thumb of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot. Why? Well, this was a visible sign of the fact that they were the property of God. The priests were the property of God. They were totally dedicated to the Lord's service. And they were living for God. This service started with 7 days of ministry day and day and night, Leviticus 8, day and night, 7 days. And God said, if you don't want to do this, die. Maybe you think now, well, nobody, when presented the gospel to me, told me that God is so serve or die. Is this possible? Is this in the New Testament? Is this the New Covenant? Of course. We serve because we are priests. We are priests because we are saved. What is the opposite? Death. Separation from God. So either you serve or die. In Romans 12:1, it says that we should bring our bodies as a what? Well, we are priests. We are bringing our body as a living sacrifice. This is my translation. If you have a body, you are on duty. I have a body, day and night. When is my duty? Day and night. It's until the Lord calls me home, I'm on duty. I'm consecrated. I'm totally dedicated. Now you understand why Paul said we are what type of sacrifice? Living sacrifice. Totally dedicated, day and night. It's not a 5 minutes, you know, Lord, I need 5 minutes. No, you don't have 5 minutes. Every second of our life is God's second. Serve or, I don't want to go there, but it's really tough. If we are prepared for the ministry as priests, we need only to be trained. So we are washed, we are clothed, we are dedicated. What's next? Well, somebody needs to tell us how to make the sacrifice, right? How to do the ministry. And this is the local church. We do this here. We train on the spot how to serve God as priests. As we serve and bring spiritual sacrifices, we grow. And we become more proficient in fulfilling the duty as a priest of a new covenant. I don't know if you ever thought about that before baptism. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but that's the truth. From now on, we are the property of God. By the way, I love the book of Revelation, but do you remember the 144,000 missionary Jews, right? They were sealed with the seal of God. Where was the seal of God put on them? Do you remember where? On their forehead. And it was dedicated to the Lord. It's not only them, it's us too. And we are not tattooing this, you know, on our for you know, like dedicated, but it's there. Spiritually, it's there. When I look at you, I look at priests on duty. So, what are the characteristics of this priesthood of all believers? Well, first of all, the new covenant priesthood needs a congregation. You cannot do it by yourself. You cannot be a hermit. If you are a priest, you are together with other priests. 1 Peter 2:5, Revelation 1:6, Revelation 5:10, it's always about a nation, a group of people, not individuals performing priestly acts, but a priesthood, a community of priests, a corporate body of people serving God in his holy places, and we also have a high priest, Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. And we bring spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. We all call upon the name of Yahweh. Now you understand why we call this a church service? Because we come to serve each other. Yes, that's true, encourage it, but we come to serve together with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you realize this is huge. Together with Jesus Christ in the presence of God the Father. That's unbelievable. Who am I? I'm a nobody. But in the same time, I am somebody. Not because of me, but because Jesus Christ. Look in the mirror and think, who am I? You are what God says you are. And he said, you are family to me. You are my family. You are my community. You are my nation. And I want to emphasize my. You are mine. You are not yours. We all call the name of Yahweh. And not like in a Seth and Enosh time. No. They were doing voluntarily. They wanted to do it. I know you'll hate me for this, but you are not doing it voluntarily. No. It's mandatory. Why? Look at you. Do you have a body? You are on duty. It's mandatory. It's not if you want or not. God wanted this for you. Now you do it. Like you are born in the tribe of Levi. It's like, oh, not me. Well, you know, even they were in the tribe of Levi and they were blonde, they were accepted from priesthood. You know what? In the new covenant, there is no blonde. You understand? If you are saved, you are on duty. You are a priest. Males or females, educated and not educated. Praise God. There is no limit. Jesus dedicated the sanctuary and he opened this access for all believers to minister, not to be spectators. Jesus said, come closer, draw near. Not just to watch better. Like, you know, for a show, you want the first row, you want, you know, a better view. No. Come closer because I need you. I want you to do something for me. As we believers, we represent Christ in the world. We cannot rest on this. I'm saved, I'm okay. No, you are commissioned to go. You have a mission. By the way, because if you are part of the priesthood of all believers, you are also a missionary. And where other missionaries cannot be you are. You know, Billy Graham was a really great missionary, right? Do you agree with this? Do you agree with me? He's awesome. But he was not able to go everywhere. I'm a missionary among the people that I know. And you are a missionary among the people that you know. Like you as students in the university. If they look at me, I'm like, who is this old man? You know, what he's doing here? But they look at you like, oh, look at them. They're like us. But they don't know you are not like them. Because you are priests of God among them. That's awesome to know that God infiltrated in this whole world his people. And from time to time, we come together to worship God and to bring all these sacrifices. And then we go back to our place where we minister in a very interesting and delicate way. Yes, we serve each other in the New Testament. There are like, I was searching this on the internet. I didn't have time to count them all. But it says that there are 31 positive one another ministries and 6 negative things that we should avoid to do each other. Like don't bite each other. That's no. But encourage each other. confess sins to each other. You see, all these each others are only because we are priests. As priests, we serve one another and our society. Now, there is one thing that I would like to emphasize, because we think, you know what? But how about if I'm a priest, I can do whatever I want in the church? Is this right or wrong? Wrong. Worship to God through ministry and sacrifices is only under the direction of other leaders. So the role of the church is to bring sacrifices, not to attract more people to membership. You understand that? We come together here because we understand our role, our mandate. When the community of priests is led from within by elders and deacons and other type of leaders, the impact is even greater. The letter of Hebrews is so important to understand our priesthood. Just read the whole letter. It talks about Jesus, the high priest, us as the priest. But then in chapter 13, it says, oh, by the way, obey your leaders. What leaders? We are all priests. No. I understand that. But there are leaders over priests and leaders of, it's different. It's so easy to assume that because we are all priests, there is no limit in our worship. The reality is that we cannot bring any spiritual sacrifices and we cannot serve in any ministry. They have to be accepted and approved by God. Let me give you some examples. You know, the Holy Spirit gives different gifts, right? And we minister according to our spiritual gifts. Well, that's a limit. That experience and our talents, and they, if they cannot match this ministry, we'll match the other one. That's a limit. We talked about the elders and the deacons. Not everybody could be and qualify for this. That's a limit. We are a community of priests, but we are organized like the priests and the Levites in the Old Testament. There is an organization. The church is not a place where, there are also leaders over us. And although an elder and a street evangelist, they are both priests, but they are doing a different function. They function differently in the church. You see, we are all priests, but the function is different. So what's my conclusion? The priesthood of all believers finds its roots in the Old Testament. You see it complete and very beautiful in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. And as a New Covenant beneficiaries, we as priests of God, we have a duty and also a privilege. A privilege and a duty. In the world, there are so many people that are not saved. We call them, we talked about this in our catechism class, right? Like from 9 o'clock, we have catechism class, and they are like zombies. They are dead spiritually, but they walk. How you call a walking dead? Well, in our world, we call them zombies. But you look at them and like, oh, they look pretty well, you know, they're pretty good, but they are dead spiritually. There are so many zombies in this world, and we are priests among these zombies. To praise God, to bless them, and to bring the gospel to them. And God, in his mighty power, he will give them life, and they will become like us. From zombies to family. This is the transformation that God wants. You've been there, right? All of us, we've been there. Now we are on the other side. We are in the family of God. The local church is the platform where you are called to serve and bring sacrifices acceptable to God. You are a part of this community of priests. You better behave. You better behave. Draw near to God and let yourself equip and serve God, because that's an awesome privilege. Amen. Nobody gave me this privilege but Jesus Christ. I praise his name.